story, and I did so by interviewing over 150 people who work with Mandela, who are part of this whole struggle. And what I got from them was not only admiration for him, but also a perspective that this was not just one man, but a movement that pulled this off, this change. And it was a movement that was organized in a democratic manner from the bottom up, not the top down. So, you know, even though we revere and admire Mandela, we have to also pay respect to the people of South Africa who suffered all these years, you know, torture, imprisonment, death, fighting apartheid.
That was Danny Schechter, the news dissector. He was joining us in 2013. He has died of pancreatic cancer. You can watch the rest of that interview as well as all of his appearances on Democracy Now! At democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Berkman, Nafel Saramata, Nirmeet Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkaff, Hani Massoud, Rabbi Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Our website is democracynow.org. Special thanks to Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Charlie Roberts. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for a public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. We're live at Henry Ford College today. It's March the 20th, 2015. We got past the Ides of March, so everything is good now. And in fact, spring starts, and I thought spring started on the 21st or 22nd, but it starts tonight at 6:45 p.m. So I'm waiting for that one.
Early spring.
Yeah, and we can't hear you because I didn't turn up your microphones over there. But we have a special guest in the studio, and of course, my co-host, John Conroy. So welcome to John, and special welcome to Margaret Schaefer from the DSO. Welcome, Margaret.
Thank you.
Welcome, welcome.
Yep. Okay. Let's see what microphone. They put her on number three. All right. So we talked earlier about that. The first I've heard about the acronym being changed, just for the sake of clarity, the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra, if you have to use three letters to refer to it, is now DOS. Okay.
Yes.
Right.
Dearborn Orchestral Society.
Excellent. And that would keep it out of the confusion of DSO, which for many years I did see it listed, you know, briefly by maybe a news reporter or something in a local weekly paper that didn't see the possible confusion.
Correct.
Because, of course, the Detroit Symphony has always been known as the DSO for years and years and years. Although, interesting question, which symphony has been around the longest?
Well, the Dearborn Symphony has been around for 53 years.
That's pretty good.
So I would imagine we would be second.
Yeah, Detroit Symphony has probably been there longer, yeah. Okay. Well, you're of course, there's many, many activities in addition to all the great concert series that go on at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. Eight times a year? Is that the series? It's usually about eight times.
It's actually six.
Six. Okay. The next time, by the way, folks, is April 17th at 8 p.m., at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. But today we're talking about a special, one of their many special events of around our town to help with fundraising. Certainly it's important to all nonprofit organizations, especially WHFR and, of course, the DOS. And this one is a very special afternoon, a week from this coming Sunday, March 29th, at the Arab American National Museum. Explain about the nature of that event. How did that idea come about?
Some of our members had said to us that they had not had an opportunity to really explore the museum, and it has been here, of course, for 10 years. So the Friends of the Dearborn Symphony, which is the fundraising arm of the Dearborn Symphony, decided to host this event. will be on Sunday, March 29th, as you've mentioned, from 4 to 6:30 p.m. During that time, we will have food, Arab food. Also, there will be refreshments. And we will have a trio of three flutists who happen to be faculty members of the Dearborn Public Schools, and they're called the Overtones, so we're happy to have them. But I think the main thrust of this particular event is the fact that we will be having a docent-led tour for the participants, and they'll give them an up-close opportunity to look at the various exhibits and information that's contained in this lovely, lovely facility. So we're hoping to introduce that to as many people in Dearborn and the neighboring communities that wish to attend. And our phone number for that is 313-617-6007, and it's $39 a person.
Right. Well, that includes admission to the museum and, of course, the food and wine and the tour, of course, from a docent who is a person that should know better. I mean, who does know better.
Yes.
And another bad joke here, is it flutist or flautist?
They tell me either is acceptable now.
The joke I always make is they want to be called the flautist because they're flouting their flute.
That's probably why either is acceptable.
They're flouting their flute playing, you know. But yeah, but and that sounds like a great idea. Not too many chances to get geographically. I mean, Dearborn is not that big a city in terms of east-west, but we always have to think about it as sort of East Dearborn and West Dearborn because Ford Motor Company land and the Fairlane Shopping Center is plunked down right in the middle, which kind of separates these areas. Not of course. Politically at all. This is one of the first times that I remember that you've had a special event somewhere on the east side of Dearborn.
I think that's correct. This is, of course, at the corner of Michigan and Schaefer and across from the old City Hall.
A lot of free parking
right behind the facility.
Sure.
Very, very large parking area.
Right. Right. Well, this can be a very nice, classy afternoon of entertainment and information. And for those that haven't been in the Arab American National Museum, it's not just for people who live in East Dearborn, you know, or anywhere else, in Michigan. And everybody can attend the museum. It's a wonderful facility, and they do have a lot of community outreach themselves. But this is a special fundraising opportunity for the Friends of the Dearborn Symphony.
Yes.
And Margaret Schaefer is our special guest for the beginning of our show today. You're Vice President of Education and Community Outreach. Is community outreach a very fancy way to talk about fundraiser, or is that another group?
Oh, no, it really isn't. My task, I think, is to try to connect the dots between the various groups in town to promote scholarships for young people in the community, in the neighboring community. I'm on two scholarship committees with the symphony. One targets students who either live in or are schooled in Dearborn or Dearborn Heights. We have generous service clubs who've given us money, and we have an actual audition in May, first Monday in May. And we give these students money that they use for private music lessons.
Oh, great.
So that we promote the private music lessons. They also then usually play for us at our home tour, which is our big fundraiser with the Friends of the Dearborn Symphony, and that's on May 17th.
And of course, WHFR, we've been a partner with the Dearborn Symphony for just all of your programs ever since we got started. This is our 30th year, not 53, but it's their 30th anyway. We're very happy that we've made it this far as a non-commercial educational operation. Most of our budget comes from our listeners, you know, and from other people in the community, sometimes underwriting from businesses and so on, is wherever we can find the support. And luckily, we've found enough of it over the years. We provide, of course, classical music programming overnight, each night, and sometimes during the day, thanks to our satellite connection and our affiliation with Public Radio International, which is a programming facility for public stations out of Minnesota Public Radio. They give us live-hosted classical music overnight. And we run promotions for the DOS events all every hour during that. And, of course, we're happy to come to the large symphony presentations, too, to tell people about our programming. Our mission is, of course, to provide people news and information and entertainment that they can't get anywhere else in the Detroit area, at least not very much of. And certainly classical music is a tremendous tradition and experience, and so that's why we wanted to include it. It's just that we didn't have enough volunteers and enough time in our daily schedules to run 10 hours a day ourselves. And one of the tricky things, too, we found was pronouncing all the names of the composers, conductors, and soloists properly. You know, people that know the difference, they kind of, you know, 25 years ago, they were a little insulted when, you know, we said Mozart. Mm-hmm. No disrespect intended, but it's Mozart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One of the other opportunities that I'm involved with is the fact that each year we...
Or is it the other way around?
Mozart?
It is Mozart. It's with a T, like Mot. Mozart. There is a T, but yep. Our students were just reading it phonetically, so my apologies. He's turning over in his grave, but and all the classical fans. But it's written Mozart, of course, so you just wouldn't think that it was Mozart, but that is the German way to do it. All right, going back.
Yes, one of the other opportunities for volunteer work is that another scholarship committee, we have an annual youth artists symphony competition that we schedule at Mary Grove College. And this year we had over 30 participants who we had two winners. We had a violinist and a pianist, and they have the opportunity to play with the Dearborn Symphony on the final concert of the season, which is Friday, May 8th. Mm. And also at that time, we have the Dearborn Youth Symphony that plays side by side with the Dearborn Symphony. And our conductor, Kipros Marku, has been actively working with the Youth Symphony, giving clinics, giving workshops. So we have a lot of connections going on. I'm very proud of that.
Well, that's fantastic. And, of course, all the nonprofits in this area working for one cause or another, we always need volunteers. So if people want to volunteer with the Friends of the Dearborn Symphony to help support the Dearborn Symphony, easiest way, number,
we have a website, DearbornSymphony.org, or they can call the symphony office at 313-565-2424.
565-2424. Got that one. Yes, I thought we had that. That's a little different than the ticket information, and we have been, especially this afternoon, want to bring your folks, our listeners' attentions to Afternoon at the Museum, Sunday, March 29th. That's at the Arab American National Museum from 4 to 6 p.m., food, wine, music, and a tour of that amazing museum. Any final words, Margaret?
No, thank you for including me on your program today.
Well, you're very welcome.
Very welcome.
Come back anytime. Although I, along with you folks, besides Friends of the Dearborn Symphony, other people that are extremely active is Friends of the Dearborn Animal Shelter. So I'm almost afraid to say, come on back anytime, because there's something happening almost every week, you know, and it's all for the good. It's all for the good. We only have an hour. But we do always look at the emails that were sent from your organization, the others, and we have notebooks full of these messages that are read at times, and sometimes we pre-record a few and put them in our computer here to play back, too. So keep us informed by email, of course, of any special events. I know I get them regularly, but that's always important. So thank you. As Margaret Schaefer, we've been talking to folks, Vice President, Education and Community Outreach for Friends of the Dearborn Symphony. And we hope the event on the 29th, Afternoon at the Museum, is a big success.
Thank you for your support.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
We're going to be right back after this commentary from Jim Hightower, our populist from Texas, and he's talking about, the isolated splendor of the super rich. Let's see what it takes, folks. See if we could be one of those.
Rich people tend to live behind high walls with guarded gates. Then there are the uber rich. They don't need walls and gates, for they isolate themselves from us riffraff the natural way, by buying their very own private islands. But holding the masses at bay is not the real reason that the swells lay out up to $30 million for these watery enclaves. Rather, says one luxury real estate expert, it's the ultimate I've arrived statement. Yes, but I would add that it's also a way for an overachieving super richie to shout out to other richies, "See, mine's bigger than yours." These days, there's been a surge in sales of private islands thanks to the convergence of two economic forces. First came rising inequality, with the privileged few at the top taking ever more of the world's wealth. Second, according to a luxury property firm with the perfect name of Candy & Candy, prices for quality islands fell during the global financial collapse. Thus, a $50 million 43-acre island in the Lesser Antilles, with a plantation house, two cottages, a protected bay for your yacht, and a landing pad for your helicopter, can now be had for only half that. Before you grab your checkbook to purchase such a bargain, however, note that the price tag is hardly the total tab. Annual upkeep on your paradise can easily run $300,000. All that for a getaway you might only get away to for a few weeks a year. Yet, with the income gap continuing to widen into a chasm, the number of those with the money to splurge on such ego-boosting baubles is expected to grow from 200,000 to about 250,000 in the next 2 years. This is Jim Hightower saying, instead of frittering away so much on so few, what say we find one isolated tropical island, build a big fence around it, and make all of these narcissistic egos live there with each other?
That was Jim Hightower speaking about the isolated super rich. Don't you feel sorry for them? Really, you know. It'd be so much more friendly if they just moved out of their gated communities and started meeting the people and going to the symphony with regular folks. And no disrespect to the super rich. For those that work for it, you deserve it. As I stumble into opinions like that, I do have to say that, of course, all opinions on the show are not necessarily of those of anyone here at Henry Ford College, not faculty, staff, administrators, or students. Okay, not necessarily. They don't tell us what to say, but we thank them for the chance to have opinions expressed by not just yours truly and my co-host, but also people from the community at times. And, of course, in the paper. I've got some really hot breaking news here about Dearborn and the surrounding area, and I know you love that. We usually scoop the Dearborn Press and Guide, but often that's because we take some of these stories from their own website. So they put some of the stories. They didn't used to do that several years ago. They got a website going, and they'd only put the stories on the website after the papers came out. Well, that was already 2 or 3 days after the story happened, so obviously that a lot of people might have complained about that. So now they put the stories there before, usually before the paper comes out. The first thing is from Wednesday, our own superintendent of public schools, Brian Whiston, he was chosen on Wednesday, and they probably heard this on the national or the state media, to become the next state of Michigan superintendent. And he has accepted, apparently. I had said the last couple of weeks that perhaps he shouldn't, because the way the Board of Education of Michigan is set up with the state superintendent in charge of it, they don't have much power to do anything for education. They can talk, they can try to organize. And in the last few years, the state legislature and Governor Snyder have had initiatives to take away power. They set up an EAA, an Education Achievement Authority, that operates not under educators, but more or less autonomously of the Board of Ed, supposedly to help those underperforming schools, but they also define who the underperforming schools are without the help of the Board of Ed. And then this other to-do this week, which you probably heard about and came up, I think I mentioned it last week, had an official press release from the Board of Ed about this, and that is that the Board of Ed, our state Board of Ed, has now said that Governor Snyder's executive order, I thought Republicans were against executive orders, violates the state constitution by taking this school reform office out of the Michigan Department of Education and puts it directly, budget-wise, which means all the power is with the budget, right, directly under the governor. So who's in charge of the schools? Is it the publicly elected Board of Education? That's why it was put in our Constitution that way, you know, folks. so that the public can elect the leaders it wants to guide education in Michigan beyond politics. But unfortunately now, because the public vote statewide is always the majority goes Democratic, except for the governor. There's all kinds of reasons for that. But so the majority, 6 out of 8 people on the State Board of Ed, guess what? They're Democrats. And they usually pick someone who's sympathetic to their cause for their superintendent, the leader of the State Board of Ed. It's interesting, Brian Whiston has spoken against the initiatives, the education initiatives of Governor Snyder and the state legislature several times, even on this show last year. And he was very vocal against them. Well, it turns out, according to This Morning, when I was listening to Detroit Today on that other great non-commercial station in Detroit, WDET, he was by phone on the Detroit Today show with their new host. And seems he's a Republican. So it's interesting. He's a Republican, which means he votes Republican. But he doesn't agree, apparently, from what he said, with the education initiatives of Snyder and the legislature. Interesting that that's the case. But as I said, who knows education better than someone whose life is in education? A legislator and even Governor Snyder, they're not educators. Oh, they had some education somewhere, some learning somewhere, okay? But their life and their studies and their practice is not in educating anyone. And yet they're the ones that have taken control. And unfortunately, our Constitution of the state of Michigan, even though it does say it should be a non-political question and a non-political situation, that is the education of our children in the state of Michigan, never gave them the power to really follow through on that. They always assumed that, I think, that the politicians would respect the judgment and the background, the experience of the education leaders elected by the public, and that they would help fund the initiatives suggested by the Board of Education and the state superintendent. And that's just not, hasn't happened. So that's my spin on that. Good luck to him. It's a job that needs a strong voice, and that's about all the power he's got. Unfortunately, I mean, his Board of Ed will support him. I mean, they obviously have chosen him now. And obviously, according to that interview this morning, he's accepted. Although I think there might still be some contract negotiations going on about how much he might be paid. But other than that, they usually work that out. So he's giving interviews publicly now as the new state superintendent to be. So it looks like he's going to be the one. And a press release coming out Wednesday afternoon, in fact, from Dearborn Public Schools did say that, of course, as he accepts, our Board of Ed is going to have to start looking for another superintendent. And who knows how long that might take. So obviously someone who's currently an associate or superintendent in Michigan, we must have a couple of those at least. Someone will move up to be our superintendent. Now, Brian Whiston will not leave officially until I think it's July 1st. But he probably will be moving and out of town and going to Lansing a lot in June. So the school board will have to make a decision certainly by June 1st on who's going to at least temporarily sit in there. Also yesterday, John, sorry I didn't call you about this. You probably would have gone. There was Governor Snyder came to Dearborn. Okay. I don't know if he was actually, did he come downriver or just come to Dearborn? As far as I know, he just stopped at Dearborn. He was at Firehouse Number 2 out on Outer Drive here in Michigan, on the west side of town. And a lot of our local leaders were there with him. And I've got the story on that from Press and Guide website, of course. I didn't attend. I don't get up that early. But anyway.
There was a picture of him in the paper.
Yes, there was. And what, Mike, you're on number one. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Microphones got switched around here in the studio last night, and we didn't check. Now we can hear you just fine, John.
There we go.
There you are. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. No, it was Governor Snyder. He was, of course, there. He's trying to go out and about to support the millage proposal, the bond proposal that's on the May 5th ballot. And as was said this morning on Detroit Today, every single Detroit Free Press survey that they've seen done, not only including some that they've done, it's like 80% no. That's the current opinion that people, when asked, are you going to support that sales tax increase? No, even though there is no other way to fix the roads that anybody has been able to come up with very quickly except that proposal. So anyway, Governor Snyder, it's interesting, I mentioned last week, it's still true, the Michigan Republican Party has not come out in support of it, a yes vote. The Chamber of Commerce of the state of Michigan has not come out in support of it, which is basically Republican-supported big business, as they call themselves. We represent 80% of our members are big business. Ooh. Well, so, in fact, a couple of Republican ad agencies that typically do political ads for Republicans have rejected even trying it. But now they have a campaign, and they get a little logo, and you'll see some TV spots about it. And Governor Snyder's going out and about. And, of course, what did he say? He said, well, we need something to fix the roads, and this is something that might fix the roads. And I say might because it actually won't generate all the money that people are now saying is needed each year for the next 10 years. It's a little bit less than actually what they need to fix the roads. So, and of course, it's not just for fixing the roads. A lot of people say, I would vote for it in a second if it was only to fix the roads. But they've included some other little things, like help for education, help for public transit funds. And, well, what did our local people say here who were at the event? Dearborn Fire Chief Joseph Murray said that the crumbling roads have increased the number of runs firefighters and paramedics have had. We're sending resources out to respond to accidents caused by potholes. So I guess they go to car accidents. I know that they have the Jaws of Death tool, which I love the title of that. It's capital Jaws J, capital D, Jaws of Death. And that's, of course, when you're in a crash, if the car has been so compacted that they can't easily open the door to get your body out, these sort of like vices in reverse. They can put them in there, and then they just open up the crunched car. But that's the fire department that does that. It's not the police department, by the way. And first responders in general, like the EMS teams from the fire department, are dodging potholes themselves, hoping that they don't cause another accident because they've got to drive like crazy. Pothole story here, John. I was out riding my bicycle last week a couple times. You know, the weather got warm. There's always a temptation to exercise for the first time in a few months. Breathe all that fresh air in. But, of course, I ride on the roads. And, in fact, you know, there's some communities like Allen Park. Adults absolutely cannot ride on the sidewalks. It's against the law.
Wow.
So, and most sidewalks are in better repair than the roads now, I've discovered, because the roads in Dearborn, I hit so many potholes, and for a bicycle to hit a hole that is 12 inches, okay, wide and 4 inches deep,
yeah,
that's a big bump.
You're going to
you're
going to get moved by that bump.
Yeah, maybe I should get a mountain bike with, you know, shock absorbers built in or something. It is terrible out there for bicyclists. In fact, Mayor O'Reilly, who was on hand, of course, to welcome the governor, he said, of course, that right now, he says, there's no viable alternative other than passing this sales tax increase to driving for residents. Oh, no, he said, first of all, there's no viable alternative to driving. Everybody in Michigan, and especially in Detroit, has got to drive because what about that bus system? Well, the question is, where is the bus system? Mm-hmm. You know, yes, we have smart buses, but that can't serve everybody. That was, of course, renewed by a bond issue by everybody a while back. Was it last August, I think?
Last August.
Yeah. He says this is a way of life, and there's no other viable alternative. And he says, so we need to take better care of the roads. Duh. Yeah, but is it the legislature's job? Again, I've heard such a wide variety of opinions on that. I have to say, and I've probably given the impression in the last couple of weeks that I'm kind of against this too, and of course I won't say how I'm going to vote on it because I don't want anybody to think that the way I vote means anything or is more important than how you're going to decide. If you're listening to this, you have to decide. I will say the one thing that Governor Snyder could say, and I think probably Mayor O'Reilly did too, although we don't have a full quote here of everything he said yesterday morning here in Dearborn, is that, you know, every single thing that they're raising money for here is probably money well spent, money that's needed to be spent for the schools, for mass transit, as well as for the roads and bridges to be fixed. There's really nothing in there that most people individually would disagree with in terms of spending money for. It's just, you know, the negatives are that some people feel that the legislature should have just made it a gas tax, a use tax. Those that drive the most, buy the most gas, will pay the most. And get those big trucks to pay their fair share of taxes, too, and limit the weight of these trucks on the roads.
On the roads.
You know, that we're the only state that allows 160,000-pound trucks to go over the roads. In other states, apparently, most other states, maybe all over the state, it's 80,000-pound limit. Hmm. But, oh, hey, if you're going from Chicago to New York, let's take a little trip through Michigan, and we can do a few extra deliveries and carry an extra 80,000 pounds of stuff on their roads with no extra cost. So anyway, and some other people just say we don't want to pay any more taxes, that all the tax giveaways and tax credits that the state has already given, legislature has already given, Michigan, what is it, DEQ? No, Department of Environmental Quality. Well, anyway, there's a Michigan commission for giving incentives to business. Other than the film incentive that we talked about, that may be dying too. But there's something like close to $600 million of business incentives that this legislature has given away just for this year alone. And some people say, well, gee, that could have fixed the roads or at least gone pretty far to it. So it's going to be some controversy, but right now the yes vote looks like it's going to take a tough sell. You know, what do you have to say about that, John? Again, don't tell us how you're going to vote. We don't want that. But
no, but coming, growing up on the East Coast, we lived with the toll booth system on the highways, and a lot of the states around us have toll booths and collect tolls. So, and that does help for pay for road repair. I don't see why that we couldn't propose that in Michigan.
Well, I-94, just put up a few toll booths. There isn't really a good, fast way to get from Detroit to Chicago or any place in between except that road. So, certainly we could do that. Or is that an interstate? Was that built by interstate money? Then we can't make it a toll road.
Maybe not so.
Yeah, so.
Indiana toll road, I know that goes.
Well, that's because the state built those themselves, just like the Ohio toll roads, they built those themselves. So, yeah, we missed that boat, I think. All right. Also, we mentioned last week, but paid parking is gone, and the Times-Herald this week said, ooh, businesses and residents and customers just love not having to pay for parking anymore in West Dearborn. That's true. There are a few meters on a couple of streets, but basically the lots and, from what I've read, the parking towers are free now, okay? And the public parking system will continue to be financed from money from the West Dearborn Downtown Development Authority and the city's general fund at a lesser amount than in previous years. They're also discussing the reinstatement of a special assessment district, or called SAD. It's sad if you have to pay extra money as a business in West Dearborn. But if it covers the operating costs of the parking system and the parking lots provide a lot of customers for you to park and come in shop as long as they want to, with no extra cost, then it's not a sad thing at all, except when you have to write the check to pay for it. So that's really good for business. But, of course, speaking of business, Pizza Popolis, who was an underwriter here at WHFR, thank you very much for your support for a non-commercial operation. And for they actually did it by donating pizza to us to eat.
Which was very good.
Yep. It was. We said thank you to them, as is allowed by FCC rules, a couple times on the air each week. And that's how you do underwriting. All non-commercial radio and TV stations can do underwriting in that way. Not a commercial. We couldn't say, like you just said, it was good. Couldn't say that on the air as part of the underwriting. And that's just John's opinion, by the way.
Yes.
And they don't exist in West Dearborn and West Dearborn anymore. That venue is closed down. And was it because they gave away too much free pizza? No. It was a lease problem, according to the story in the press and guide from this last Wednesday, 2 days ago. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I've heard that story so many times, is that the people that own the property in West Dearborn business areas, they keep continuing to want more and more money from the residents in those business properties. And at a certain point, people can't pay them. Even a big franchise operation like Pizza Popolis couldn't afford them in Dearborn. They're not closed. They're not out of business. There's other locations in the Detroit metro area that are still going, but not here in Dearborn. That the lease owner, the owner of the property, has priced himself out of that franchise. And I also have to pick on, and I won't mention the name of the person that owns a property where Tenney Street Roadhouse sits in West Dearborn. That was a great venue for music of all kinds, live music performance of all kinds, a great bar, and also a great restaurant, and they specialized in Cajun food. Spicy New Orleans-style Cajun stuff, jambalaya, and it was really good. It was really great, and we had some benefits there. And yet, the owner, and this is story is 6 or 7 years or 8 years old now, but the owner of the property decided to raise the lease amount. And I just happened to read a story in the same amount. I just happened, through my sources, find out what the amount was, and it turned out he wanted more money from Tenney Street Roadhouse on a monthly lease than they charge a music venue in Greenwich Village, New York City at that time. Now, how That's is that crazy. Possible? Yeah. You know, how is it possible? I mean, West Dearborn is going to be like a more lucrative location with more people coming for live music and drinking and so on than Greenwich Village, New York? No. And so it's been vacant now for 8 years. Hmm. Nobody's in there. Nobody can use it. And we're one big venue down for 8 years. And the guy apparently, I don't know, it's a tax write-off now, I guess. He's so rich, he doesn't care. Now he has some other properties that he has gotten some new people to move in. I won't mention them because I've said some things I don't agree with his business model. And I guess he's doing fine financially, but he's not helping Dearborn. That, I'm sorry to see that. So, is he the same owner of the property, Pizza Popolis? You know, there was a business model that one of the media barons, it's not Rupert Murdoch, but another one of them, one of the cable media barons, and he stated quite clearly that he will go and buy a business, whether it's cable or whatever it is, and he will start raising the prices after he consolidates and merges and fires a bunch of people. He'll start raising prices. And as soon as business takes a downturn 4 or 5 years later, he'll sell it right then and move on to the next one. You know, of course, if anybody will buy it. So that was his business model. And he's a billionaire, you know. But that shows no concern not only for your workers and employees, but also the communities that those businesses are located in. And that's, I don't think, maybe it's short-term profit only. I don't think that's good for society in general. Again, one of those opinions that isn't necessarily that of Henry Ford College. So bye-bye to Pizza Popolis. If there's any other pizza place in West Dearborn or East Dearborn that would like to give pizza to the station for a few mentions on the air, and there is a tax credit for that too. It's not totally free. You get something back. Ask your accountant about that. How is that possible? All right, moving on. Craig Foran, you read Craig Foran regularly.
Yes, I do.
You know, he's had this ongoing series of weekly editorials, sometimes twice a week in the Press and Guide papers, and I keep waiting for the big finish. You know, there was a, I think the third part was last Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, and I have it here, but I was looking, you know, he talks about people's lack of trust in government, downright dissatisfaction with government and getting anything done in their favor. And it's very frustrating. Of course, every time you mention that, it just seems to make things worse. So I'm looking at the punchlines at the end. Or what do you suggest, Craig? And what I can see is, from last Sunday, two things. One, because he said, you know, we don't trust the Democrats. We don't trust Republicans. Don't trust the political system. But his answer is, number one, whether or not this adds up, you figure, elect better people. Well, I'm all in favor of that, but it would have to be people that once elected wouldn't necessarily vote according to how the lobbyist and their own party tell them to vote. In other words, they'd want to vote for the good of all people and work on bills and new laws and regulations that are good for all the people. That they wouldn't be swayed by political pressure. Of course, they might be a one-term elected politician because of that. Wasn't that the whole idea? Jimmy Stewart, and when he went to Congress, that movie in the 1930s? It wasn't called Jimmy Stewart Goes to Congress.
No.
Anybody here know the title of that movie? Thank you. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Oh, very good. Okay.
A recent college graduate has still got a memory. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Patty.
Great movie. And, of course, it was, you know, he gets elected and he starts not following the lobbyists and not following his own party and doing what he thinks is right. And he makes a big speech at the end of the movie and it just, you know, he does the right thing, even though it's probably the end of his career. I think it was, if I remember. But he was happy that he did the right thing. But it was a cautionary tale that most politicians wouldn't do the right thing for the majority of people they're representing because it would be the end of their career. And you talk about term limits, that's even a faster term limit, not to follow what your party tells you or what the lobbyist who donates the most money to your campaign tells you. Oh, well. And his second suggestion was to all this, you know, disaffection with our system is that we can influence the outcome by voting. But if the Democrats and Republicans are all the same and you can't find good people to vote for, who are you going to vote for? Now, he did mention May 5th, but he didn't say if he was in favor of the sales tax or not. But I think he would agree, as I always say, you should vote. You should try to be educated. You should try to vote for whatever is the best of the choices that are given to you.
And if we have such low percentages like we have been having, then of course you get what you pay for, kind of a deal. You know, you just gotta.
Well, everybody gets.
You need to vote.
Yeah, everybody gets what they deserve, and if they don't vote, then they're part of the problem. If they don't like what's been happening, I'm constantly amazed at the surveys that they take about political opinions in the general public. They usually only try to ask the people that say they're intending to vote. Because the others don't matter. But what if everybody actually voted? Well, again, a lot of those people may not have done any research and asked anybody pertinent questions. Maybe they don't read the newspapers. Maybe they don't watch local cable television shows to find out things that they can't get any other way or listen to WHFR. So they wouldn't be casting educated, informed votes. So who knows? But still, it's the only way you can get close to a democracy, and we're not a democracy, folks, you know. Technically, we're a representative democracy. Democracy is where everything is voted by everybody. There's no in-between, okay, representatives. We don't have that. And it used to work well when there was, I think, a spirit of community and collaboration and compromise among the political parties involved. I would just make one other suggestion. I've got several. To consider, and I think I've said this before, is that, of course, you should vote for the best people or the best ballot proposal as you decide at the time. But remember, there are more than two parties. Okay? On the major ballots for elected representatives, there are at least two other major parties, and usually three or four, and once every 4 years for president. It will not be the end of our political system. It might be the end of our gridlock, but look at Canada, look at countries in Europe that have a third and fourth party that actually have seats and are doing things, and those countries are not gridlocked. They have some interesting moments of compromise that are totally required because of the involvement of extra parties. So I know I had a civics teacher in high school said, two-party system, it's the only thing that can happen. If you had a third party, America would be doomed. Okay. Well, duh, our political founders, you know, they knew about a third and fourth party systems. They didn't put anything in the Constitution saying we have to have a two-party system only here. In fact, they didn't even talk about parties. In fact, if you look at the U.S. Constitution strictly, since they don't even mention political parties, maybe political parties should be outlawed. Of course, how would you organize a campaign? I mean, how would you stay organized in between campaigns? I mean, it just, you got to have an organization somehow, and you got to call them something, I guess, for tax purposes. But I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be just two parties. And if you look at it, folks, well, the Democrats are left wing and the Republicans are right wing. No, they're not. They're, you know, most people will analyze the votes. They're both in favor of big governments in general, and there are exceptions, individual exceptions, and they're really not that much different. Okay, if you look at what's been happening over the last 15, 20 years. And so third parties, though, and I'll mention the next two biggest ones, the Libertarian Party and the Green Party, they are very different, and they are not going to do the same things that Democrats or Republicans would do. And so I think a few Libertarians or Green Party would people that get elected would really shake things up. My humble opinion, but I know from looking at other countries in the world that involving other political entities is not going to end anything. It's not going to cause gridlock here. We already have gridlock. So that's the only other thing I can suggest right now. Other than one thing, we have 15 minutes left in the show before Highway 61, and that is Reagan Ford. Did you see that, John?
Yep.
Yeah, Reagan last week, he's a civic leader in Dearborn. He had a pretty strong editorial that we gave against the new city hall, and apparently got some feedback that he said, thank you very much for the feedback. And this week, he has an answer, which is kind of like an answer also for Craig Foran, too, about what you can do. And he says, in fact, the title of his editorial comment, or his op-ed, if you will, it's not from the Pressing guy, but they let him write it here. He says, it's all about civic engagement. That means get involved with your neighborhood associations, with the people that live around you in your neighborhoods. Participate in these various local groups. And I would say nonprofit organizations, too, because they always help. Volunteer to be on a commission for the city, whether it's City Beautiful, going around looking at people's flower gardens. I'm not sure about the value in that, but I've got a sticker on my front door. Thank you very much, City Beautiful. My daughter was living with me a few years ago for a while, and she wasn't homeless, but it's another story. But she planted a bunch of rose bushes in the front, you know. And apparently flowers, that'll get you one of those seals right there. A lot of flowers, a lot of bright red flowers. That'll get you the City Beautiful Award. So, and I, you know, they're just too prickly. I can't do yard work and get poked all the time. So I've just sort of let them go. She used to toss bags of fertilizer on them, you know.
Did she ever promise you a rose garden?
No, no, no. But we did. We were surprised we got a City Beautiful Award. Well, by the way, who is this Reagan Ford? Dearborn resident and business owner, president of the Southwest Outer Drive Neighborhood Association. So that's one of those civic groups. So he knows. He's president of that group. And also he's on the Rotary Club of Dearborn Board of Directors. And that represents a lot of businesses in Dearborn. And that's, you know, pretty good connections. But he says in this article, I guess to make up for last week's article, that, you know, he's critical of the city on a number of these issues, like supporting the pools and the schools and the, not the schools, the pools and the libraries in particular,
right. Yep.
And the museum, the Dearborn Historical Museum, no support from the city government budget at all now. And so he's saying, you know, it's a great city, it's a wonderful place. And he does make mistakes. He's willing to admit it, but he admits that that the only two people, he says, who never make mistakes is the city of Dearborn's administration, and the other is his mother-in-law. Now, that's a joke, I want to say, and it depends on how you read it. You don't get tone of voice out of the newspaper.
No.
But obviously, he believes our city administrations here in Dearborn have made mistakes. And, of course, the mother-in-law joke is kind of old news, whether or not it's really true of his mother-in-law or not. But, and of course, who believes that they're totally right all the time? Usually your mother-in-law, that's the stereotype, right? And of course, the city of Dearborn. I was mentioning to you, John, before the show, when we had Mayor Michael Guido, the previous mayor of Dearborn, on the show many times, 10, 15 years ago, he said, I said, tell us, you know, in detail, what is the range of your job, you know, each day and so on? What really do you do for those people that think the mayor does nothing? And he said, I'm a cheerleader. I'm the city cheerleader. I'm the one that has to always, in spite of what I know, put a good spin on everything, you know, and that's my job. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, that means you've got to on purpose partially lie about what you know is true. But if you don't say something good, who else will? You know, so, and you don't want to change the whole climate. We noticed that the current president of the Dearborn Area Chamber of Commerce, Jackie Lovejoy, mm-hmm. and she always is so positive,
very positive.
About businesses on the upturn and businesses improving. That's part of her job description, too. I mean, it's not written down. I've seen her job description. But cheerleader for all business in the city, you know, and keeping the business environment positive is extremely important, of course, because as people have this emotional connection to things, that's how they'll act and respond. So, yeah, I think the city administration will always try to put a positive spin on things, and they don't usually want to say anything negative or give any downside to anything. But Mayor O'Reilly, you know, will be on the show for our annual Pledge Drive Week grilling. No, we just ask him a lot of questions. Hopefully he can be here most of the hour on April 17th, and we're going to ask him, I have a list of questions, and it's about some of the details of things that he didn't bring up in his State of the City address, which was very positive. You know, so I think that's another answer to Craig Foran, and it's a good one, civic engagement, that in between the voting and the electing of people, you need to get involved locally. As we've always said on the show, what matters to you most is right next door, and that's another reason to get involved. There's one of our people looking through the window from the Student Center grill area, and he's a loyal listener.
That's good.
It's also a relative, so it doesn't matter. Oh, I guess. But okay. No, the story about Steve
I
is
know Steve too.
He's not listening to the speaker out there right now, but Steve is in the Hospitality and Culinary Arts program.
I met him,
and he is a person of a certain age, and that certain age is more than mine, and he's having great time with that program. He's day and night, he's there fixing food, serving food, and learning the program. And, you know, he hasn't had education maybe for a few decades, formal education, but he is a college graduate. He was in business years ago and so on. And now he's got a new lease on life, if you will. And hopefully the lease won't get too expensive.
Well, he's a great ambassador for the buffet program as well as I am.
Always so. See him there, yes. Did you get to the Irish buffet
I didn't make it there this
Wednesday.
Time.
You no, always I, get there. But there'll be more was, coming up in the spring, don't worry.
We were having our good pizza here.
I know. We had we couldn't get it from Pizzapopolis, so we had to buy it ourselves from some other place. Okay, what else is on my list here? We've got about 8-10 minutes. Highway 61, the Best in the Blues, will start at 2 o'clock or as soon as Joanne Korchinska arrives. We always use the Elvis is in the house joke when we see her. Tomorrow, oh my goodness, speaking about getting busy this week, WHFR's 7th Holistic Fair is coming up, and that's a big deal. What is the Holistic Fair, John? This is a quiz.
Our Holistic Fair highlights or brings into the Student Center a group of massage therapists, psychic readers, numerologists, as well as there'll be a lectures at different parts of the day, and there'll also be music played throughout.
And food served, and food served healthy as well. Food. WHFR has gotten some great donations from Park Place Catering, and we're going to be selling like turkey or veggie-wrapped sandwiches for $1 each, for example. And so we, you know, it's fun for the whole family. It's informative, non-traditional in terms of education, you know, or college programs, but it's stuff that might make a difference to someone in their life. If you flip over that sheet I gave you, the speakers that are confirmed for tomorrow, and for a $5 entry fee per person, and by the way, all students with ID, high school students, college students can get in free, and faculty and staff of Henry Ford College get in free too. But why don't you mention just some of the topics at least
sure
for the free lectures.
At 11:30 in the morning we have it's called Reading Symbols, Understanding and Using Symbols the Universe Sends. It's easy and fun and can benefit everyone in your everyday life. And this is Mama Tracy is the one to contact here at 734-626-5436. Mm-hmm. At 12:30 we have Exploring Yourself Through Numerology. Numerology is used for insight into who we are and the world we live in. Our names and birth dates contain our personal blueprints for this life. And this is Marcia Kozlowski that's going to be doing this event. At 1:30, we have the power and impact of vibrations. According to Charles Fillmore, vibration is the rate at which all forces move. One of the greatest discoveries of all ages is that of physical science, which shows that all things have their source and being in vibrations.
I want to find out how he causes those vibrations to happen, or whether they're just supposed to feel them. You know.
And the Gregory Gweiss, is his name pronounced, or Juice?
Could Close be enough. Juice. We'll find out.
Okay. And then at 2:30, there's a How Your Thinking Affects Our World. This is we can change our brains by changing our thinking, which creates new clusters of synaptic relationships.
Wow.
That sounds serious.
Okay, yeah. Yes. Okay. Actually, there was a lecture on Detroit Public Television, Channel 56, talking about that. Change your brain, change your life, or something is the title of the person's book, even. So it's not, you know, there's a lot of new things happening in brain science that is actually science too, and this is some of these topics are beyond science. By the way, in terms of the vendors, there's people usually selling crystals because some people believe that crystals do some of that vibrating, or have some sort of healing powers. And I usually always get for my granddaughter a few samples of small, pretty things, you know, like some of those crystals. And Make Love, Not War t-shirts.
Okay.
Because that's very spiritual. Oh, yeah. You know, if you're not dead, I think it's really spiritual, and it's a good thing to support. And some of those vendors, of course, you know, folks, will charge extra money. So their services, like for massage or psychic readings or whatever, there's an extra fee. You can talk to them, or you can either do it or not. We found that some of the massage people will give you a little test massage.
Yes.
A little sample massage.
Definitely. Neck massage.
For no charge.
Well, and it happens.
Our staff takes turns going around asking for that for the long day. It's tomorrow, 11 to 5, here at Henry Ford College in the main Student Center building right at, that includes 5101 Restaurant and WHFR.
And that's, of course, one of our popular fundraisers because we will have a table there with WJR DJs.
WHFR.
HFR, I'm sorry. Yes. Oh, mistake there. WHFR folks. And we'll also be selling goods from that table and having a raffle, a tin can raffle.
That's right. And everybody can use another tin can. you know what it is, folks. You know, different things offered, and you make a bid. And if you make the high bid and put your bid in that little can or receptacle or whatever at the end of the day, then you'll be awarded that prize, that whatever it is, all kinds of different things, not just a little jewelry or whatever. It sometimes, I know Joanne Korchinska here, she's offering storytelling at your house. She's a professional storyteller, in addition to all the stories she tells about blues artists, too. So at least I think she is this year. So that all kinds of stuff happening tomorrow. We call it the Festival of Enlightenment. Entertainment, information, music, food, 11 to 5, free parking here at HFC campus, of course, main campus, Evergreen Road just south of Ford Road, and hope to see you down here. It's fun, really. You can bring the whole family, kids, everybody, and it is a complete fundraiser. That $5 at the door goes directly to us. Thank you very much. Okay. Sort of a sad story and a question raised in my head. I think it's the last big story. Well, there's other thing I can mention. By the way, you need to go to the cityofdearborn.org website if you're interested in the budget. How is the city going to spend its money, and how much money does it have? There's a series of fiscal year budget discussions that are starting in April, and you have to look at the cityofdearborn.org website to get all the dates for the meetings. But that would be something. Talk about civic engagement. Go there and find out about it and express your opinions. There's also a whole separate series on just the Dearborn Recreation Department. Three, 4 different weeks talking about what they do and why they should do it and how they should do it. So you can really make a difference by getting close to that information. And we'll give you reports, but it'll be after the fact. So maybe you want to be part of that. Now, here's a story from Press and Guide Wednesday. The Dearborn Public Schools are closing their program for deaf students. That's right. Katie Hetrick writes this for the Press and Guy. Dozens of parents in Dearborn and other communities are upset after learning the district plans to end its program for deaf and hard of hearing students. Parents inadvertently learned of the plans earlier this month when other school districts began contacting families who send their children to Dearborn to discuss making arrangements for next year. Parent Julie Long said, "It's horrible." Her son, Alex, has attended Dearborn Public Schools since preschool and for years has been in the deaf and hard of hearing program. Now he faces the prospect of going to Stout Middle School next year. And she says he potentially could be the only deaf child in the school. Alex, who communicates through American Sign Language, could spend the day with no one he can talk to except his assigned interpreter. How is he able to socialize and grow? The mother said, Julie Long, noting that socialization is a key part of any school. Even his teachers will have to rely on the interpreter in order to talk to him. 33 students are in the program, including 10 from Dearborn. District Communications Coordinator David Musselman said, of the Dearborn students, 5 are in elementary, 1 in middle school, and 4 in high school. He says it's a center program, so it serves students from all over the county. Students from outside Dearborn can go back to their home districts. Yeah, bye-bye. Now, why? Well, the district made a decision here in Dearborn that they can meet the needs better through IEPs. And I guess that's interpreters. I guess it's an acronym for interpreter. Individualized education plans.
Yep.
Yeah. So I guess they're finding other ways to help those students, but it's not the same thing. It misses that social dimension, I guess. Seems a shame, but obviously I bet there's a bottom line in cost.
They've also been referred to as individual enrichment programs.
Well, of course, but that would be a different acronym. So,
Okay.
The Detroit School for the Deaf is the only other program in Wayne County, by the way, that teaches students using sign language. And Julie Long said, "I'd be willing to send my son Alex anywhere, but not to Detroit." Okay, because she says a long bus ride, safety concerns, and questions about the quality of Detroit schools. Make that decision for her that she's not going to send Alex to the school for the deaf. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, if you always need an interpreter, how does that teach you to deal with life? But of course, how many people know American Sign Language?
Not enough.
See, I think almost every teacher should actually be required to know some sign language, so at least the teacher can communicate to the students that way. But I don't think it's a bad thing, at all. Don't they teach a little bit on Sesame Street?
I haven't seen that in a
couple
long time.
Of signs like I love you. Stupid stuff. Okay. Well, we're going to move along as soon as Joanne Korchinska comes in the studio here today for Highway 61. This is WHFR Dearborn, and we're going to continue with just one or two other stories that we have here. Of course, our podcast, you can listen anytime to WHFR at WHFR.fm. You just click on Talk Shows, WHFR Journal, and then the date. And today is March 20th, 2015. A couple other stories I had put aside. There's something to think about. I don't know how much time we have to go on with it here. I know I'm off mic, as they say. That means I'm not close to the mic. It's a car story. This is quick. Of course, our annual car show, where we talk about the auto show, is always fun for us. And there's so many topics. I'm kind of a car guy, and I read all the magazines and try to test drive a lot of cars without buying them, and drives dealers crazy. But it turns out, in terms of insurance, because I raised this question with our guest a couple months ago from Car and Driver magazine,
right.
And I said, you got to do more stories.